I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. For the past 5 years, on my bedside table, I've had a copy of the New York Times with the bold headline, "Powerful Quake and Tsunami Devastate Northern Japan." Now, this was the edition of the paper on the day after the quake. Just below the photo, the paper mentioned that the nuclear plant at Fukushima had experienced a breakdown in the cooling systems and a warning that small amounts of radiation could leak from the plant. A week later, we learned that assessment was way off the mark. The quake led to a meltdown, the worst nuclear disaster since Chernobyl. So today, how's the radiation? Not just in the waters off Fukushima, but also in the Pacific waters off Alaska, all the way down to Mexico. Ken Bissler is a radiochemist with the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. Last February, he measured the first Fukushima radiation to reach the shores of North America off of British Columbia.
So we did a dose assessment. If you get up every day, you go swimming in those waters for an entire year, you have additional dose. Now, it turns out to be about 1,000 times smaller than a single dental x-ray. So I'm not concerned about swimming in the ocean or eating fish from our side of the Pacific.
Any concern that it could increase at this point, that we haven't seen the worst of it yet?
Well, you never know you're at the peak until you see it go down. The models predict somewhere around this year or next, it'll start to decrease. It's actually important to realize there was already cesium-137 isotopes in the ocean before that accident. Everywhere in the world's ocean, Atlantic and Pacific, we have small amounts of these isotopes as residual leftover from the atomic testing done primarily in the 60s.
Now, you've also been studying the water near Fukushima since 2011. How much has radiation in the water off of the Japanese coast gone down since the initial meltdown?
Well, it decreased quite quickly, actually. April was actually the peak input into the ocean. All of that water used to cool the reactors was flowing directly in the ocean. That's when we saw 50 million of these units of becquerels per cubic meter. That's how we measure it. By the time we got there in June, we were in the thousands, and now it's down to a couple of hundred. So that's still elevated enough to still have to watch out for things like seafood consumption on that side near the reactor. Japanese have done a very good job, I think, of at least keeping the fisheries closed when the levels in the fish are above what they consider to be the threshold for human consumption.
Now, we're talking water here, but of course in Japan, they're also concerned about foodstuffs grown in the ground in the northeast part of the country still.
Right. Some products, things like mushrooms, pick that up more. They're doing testing. Almost all the food products from that region, Fukushima, are being tested for radioactivity to this day.
So after an event like this, what are the long-term ecological implications you expect from radiation in the water?
Well, in the ocean, we have now a level of cesium in the seafloor near Japan that continues to be a lingering source, but not levels that seem to be causing immense contamination. By that, I mean that 2011, over half of the fish in that area were above the seafood limits for Japan, and now it's less than 1%. But this residual is going to be here for decades to come.
Every disaster, sadly, is also a learning moment, we hope anyway. Fukushima, no exception. From an academic perspective, what is the most interesting thing you've learned in the past 5 years?
Well, in some ways, it's how little we know in our models of ocean currents and transport of contaminants. We had predictions ranging within a year of when this stuff would show up along the west coast, say, of the U.S. Now, when we're at the levels we're measuring today, that's not such a big deal. But if something were to happen today off Japan, you'd want to know 3 years from now whether that's going to arrive and what the concentrations are. So we're learning a bit about how weak, in some ways, our predictions can be. And in times of crisis, we need to do better than that. So I'm a little disappointed that our federal government hasn't followed up on this. So we've also kind of learned how we've had to go straight to the public and use crowdfunding as a way to get our support for the West Coast analyses.
What more would you like to see done?
Well, I think, you know, we have, say, EPA monitors air and drinking water. Why aren't we monitoring our oceans for radioactivity? That would give us a better baseline and just keep maintaining the cadre of people you kind of need to look at these environmental impacts. You know, whether you're for or against more nuclear power, we need to have people who can measure these contaminants in the ocean environment.
Ken Bissler with the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, who's been studying the waters off of Fukushima and the U.S. West Coast since 2011. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.